We have before us tonight the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. In connection with that, we read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we begin to read at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. We find our instruction with regard to the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer in Lord's Day 51, you will find that on page 43 in the back of your song book, toward the top of the page. What is the fifth petition? And forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us miserable sinners any of our transgressions, nor the evil which always cleaves to us, as we also find this witness of thy grace in us, that it is our full purpose heartily to forgive our neighbor. There are several passages that serve as the basis of God's word for that instruction. First of all, in that well-known 51st Psalm, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. Psalm 143:2. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. As we turn to John's first epistle, chapter 2, the first two verses. My children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Matthew 6:14-15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And 1 John 1:4, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive. As we have the fifth petition before us this evening, beloved, forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive those who have sinned or are indebted to us. We might ask the question, why do we need this petition? After all, are we not justified children of God? Have we not been forgiven? Is that not our confession? Do we not often turn to Romans chapter 8 and find reassurance there? Whom God justifies, no man can condemn. Who is going to say anything against us if we are justified in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? Our sins may rise up against us, but we are forgiven. So why then does our Lord Jesus Christ teach us this prayer which we take upon our lips from day to day? Father, forgive us our sins, even as we forgive those who sin against us. He gives that to us, beloved, because he wants us to deal with ourselves as we are in the realm of sanctification, not justification. We know that we are justified. We know that we are forgiven. We understand the fullness of God's grace in salvation. But as the children of God who still walk our pilgrim's journey here below, who are still in the body of this flesh, who still have to deal with our sins, and sometimes they are great, we need the assurance from day to day in order that we may have peace with God that our sins are forgiven us. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray this prayer. You notice that it comes just prior to the next petition. Now, we have dealt with that petition out of order already. We understand that. But let me refresh our memory a moment. In the very next petition, we pray for deliverance from the evil one. And there the petition is that as you and I walk in the midst of this world, we long for glory. We long for the time when we will no longer have to fight the inclinations of the flesh, when we no longer have to fight the archenemy, when we no longer have to exist and walk our pilgrim's journey in the midst of this wicked world, when we will be free from every sin, because we know that it cleaves unto us. So while we are yet in this pilgrim's journey, though we are sanctified by the Spirit of God, we find ourselves not yet perfect. While we bend every effort to walk in harmony with God's law, we know that even our best works are polluted with sin. While we try our very best, we understand that we fall far short. Or as the form for the Lord's Supper tells us, there is much littleness of faith and much sin that still remains in us, and though it is against our will, it is still there. From that perspective, our Lord Jesus Christ places this petition upon our lips, in order that you and I may be assured every day and again, that though we are grievous sinners, though we confess our sins, that nevertheless God will forgive. Even when we confess our sins, God will forgive, and they will never stand between us and God. And that's the point of this petition. I would like you to notice this petition with me this evening, the fifth petition, Notice with me, first of all, what it is regarding. Let's find out the content of this petition. In the second place, let's understand, as we are taught in this Lord's Day, that we appeal to the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the atonement, as the very basis of this prayer. And finally, let's understand the possibility of being able to utter this prayer. And we're going to find that to forgive one another is not the ground, is not the reason why God forgives us, but as we read from the parable, it is incumbent upon us, as God's grace works within us, to show the working of that grace, which is our forgiveness, in forgiving one another. The fifth petition, the content, the basis, and the possibility. I want to remind you again of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ underscores in each of these petitions the fact that we stand among the fellowship of God's people. And that little pronoun, ours, appears again. And there is a reason for that. And that becomes apparent especially in our last point when we deal with forgiving one another. Our Lord Jesus Christ understands that no man is an island in the Church of Christ in the midst of this world. We are, so to speak, all in the same boat. Therefore, this prayer is not only a concern for ourselves, but it is a concern for fellow saints. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's why the Lord's Prayer fits in communal prayer. That doesn't mean, of course, that you and I are limited to this in our personal prayer. It doesn't mean that you and I can't use the pronoun I, and that you and I can't face our individual sins and pray about them, or our individual challenges and take them before God's throne of grace. It simply means that our Lord Jesus Christ always wants us to be cognizant of the fact that we stand in the fellowship of God's people, in the communion of God's people, that these needs which are addressed in the Lord's Prayer are in fact communal in the fellowship of God's people in the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are taught to pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Forgiveness of sins, that's the point here. That's the content of this prayer. Forgive us our sins, even as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. We learn two things here. We learn, first of all, the fact that our sins are great and they always cleave unto us. And in the second place, we learn that there is bountiful forgiveness with our God. Let me take them in that order. Whether you use the word sins, as you do sometimes, or whether you use the word debtors, as sometimes we do, you will find in the gospel narratives that both terms are used. The connection between the two is quite obvious. When the scripture uses the word sin, beloved, it uses here the generic term, the term that is most often used, the term that we also like to employ when we teach our children about sin. What is sin? Sin is essentially always missing the mark of God's glory. That's what sin is. If you apply that to the law, then you find out that we are called by God to keep that law with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. That's the glory of God. In the measure that we cannot do that, beloved, we find ourselves debtors to God for not having performed that which we should have done. So we should live before Him. We should keep the law. We should do that perfectly. We should do that 24/7. That's our obligation before God. We find ourselves far short of that. We find many failings in our life. We find sins of omission. We find sins of commission. We find sins of thoughtlessness. We find sins of littleness of faith. All these things, you see, we have to deal with. And as we deal with these particular sins, we need to ask our Father to forgive us. They rise up against us. They are bothersome to the child of God. They are bothersome to us from day to day. That's why each of us in the evening, before we retire, we have a prayer to God and we call to mind those very things that we should have done and we didn't do. We call to mind those things that we should have thought of and they weren't in our mind. We call to mind the fact that when we should have been spiritually minded, we were very carnally minded. We call to mind the fact that in the body of this flesh, no matter what work we perform, though it be the very best, though I stand up here and preach, though we conduct ourselves in prayer, though we do every good work God requires of us, sin always cleaves to it. It always attaches itself to us. That's the scripture. You find that, for example, in Psalm 19. You could read that sometime at your leisure. You find in Psalm 19 that the psalmist there speaks of sins that are secret faults. Secret faults. James speaks of those things. We read of that in James chapter 3. We only have to read just a few verses of that chapter, and it will become very apparent to us. Let me begin to read a moment in the second verse already. In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in words, says James, the same is a perfect man able to bridle the whole body. But that's not the way it is. We have to put bits in horses' mouths to control them. They have a rudder on a great ship, says James. And then he enters into that whole idea of the unruliness of the tongue. And you and I know the sin that cleaves unto us with regard to that. If we could be perfect, but that's far from the case. Because even if we could do that, we were only profitable servants. But we can't do that. It cleaves to us. And that's why the Catechism very wisely makes this a matter of our nature. Notice how the Catechism puts that in this Lord's Day, beloved. Forgive our debts. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us miserable sinners any of our transgression, nor the evil which always cleaves to us. As we also find this witness within ourselves. The evil cleaves to us because of the old man of sin. Because we are still in the body of this flesh, because we are still in this old nature that we bear and we take with us until we get to the grave in which we are delivered from all these things. In that realm, beloved, you and I realize our sinfulness and we need to ask for forgiveness. Because those things bother us. They weigh heavy upon us. They make us sorrowful. They bring us to confession. We can search our own soul. If we can sin indiscriminately, there is no repercussion in our life. It doesn't really matter to us. It doesn't stand between us and God. And then, beloved, we better ask ourselves the question, are we sincere children of God who seek after His glory, who walk a sanctified life? That's not the way it is with us. Sin bothers us. We strive against it. We try to do better. We pray for the Holy Spirit more and more to grow in grace as we grow in knowledge, that we may more and more have a command of ourselves, that we may more and more crucify the old man of the flesh. In the measure that we commit these sins, beloved, we confess them one to another, and we confess them before God. John talks about that in his first epistle. David talks about that in Psalm 51. In that beautiful 51st Psalm, I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. In 1 John, you find exactly the same thing. 1 John chapter 1. Notice, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But notice the other aspect. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What an indictment. The child of God lives with the burden of his daily sin and the transgressions that cleave to him, and he knows himself indebted to God. That's our sinfulness. Now, knowing that, having to deal with that in our life every day, our secret faults, the things we forget to do, the things we do that aren't right, as we cry out with Paul, "O wretched man that I am," as we live with that, beloved, we ask for forgiveness. And just exactly what is forgiveness? It is to erase from mind as if it had never happened. You know, whenever I deal with that concept of forgiveness, especially from the viewpoint of this particular Lord's Day, my mind turns to that Old Testament ritual that God imposed upon Israel with regard to the two goats, the one which was the scapegoat that had to be sent into the wilderness. And what always impresses me with regard to that whole ritual, and let me just read a few verses out of Leviticus where this is stipulated. Verse 5 of Leviticus 16. "And he," that is the priest, "shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." And then, beloved, Aaron was to take the one goat and sacrifice it unto the Lord and bring the incense of that sacrifice before the Lord as an atonement for sin. But because that could not be the totality of the picture that Israel wanted to paint, that God wanted to paint for Israel, he was to take the other goat, which remained at the door of the temple, and he was to confer the sins of the people upon that goat, and he was to send that goat into the wilderness. And that wilderness, you see, was the wilderness of forsakenness. And when he had made an end to the reconciliation of the in the holy place, in the tabernacle made for the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and he shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let the goat go into the wilderness. God drew a concrete picture of this idea of forgiveness for Israel. Their sins were conferred upon the goat, and the goat was sent into the wilderness where there was no habitation, forgotten from before the face of God, so that God would behold no iniquity and no sin in his people. They were cast into the forgetfulness of the land that had no habitation. That's forgiveness. We might underscore that, because oftentimes forgiveness is done rather half-heartedly by ourselves. And we would never wish or desire God to do that. But many times forgiveness for us does not mean the same thing as conferring it upon the scapegoat into the land of oblivion and forgetfulness. That's a severe challenge for us, beloved, when we forgive one another as we must, and we'll get to that in the last point, and the reason for that will become very apparent, that you and I have the obligation to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgives us. And then bear in mind this little ceremony which God imposed upon Israel in the book of Leviticus, and make sure that we take those sins that are sinned against us and that we put them upon the back of a scapegoat and that we send them into the wilderness and that they are forgotten by us and never more to be retrieved, which is a forgiveness that will soon be forgotten and will be imposed again upon those who have trespassed against us. We would never desire God to forgive us in that sense of the word. Forgiveness. Taking away from our memory. Sending into the land of forgetfulness, beloved, where there is none to inhabit. That's forgiveness. That's what God does with us. And that's the assurance we have that those sins that still cleave unto us, which bring sorrow of heart and soul, which bring us to our knees in confession, those sins that we can't even enumerate because they are secret faults, those sins that we have done that we may not even be aware of, those sins that are committed before God, omission, commission, all of them, beloved, as we are in the imperfection of this flesh, we pray that God will send them away on the scapegoat of oblivion. That's forgiveness. Never to be held against us again. But you notice in the same ceremony, there was also a sacrifice made. And that points us to the fact and that with forgiveness, there has to be a basis. God cannot simply engage in His mercy without His justice. How many times have we not been taught that which you also find here again in this Lord's Day? That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us miserable sinners. Where there is the mercy and the compassion of God, according to which He forgives, there is always the basis of His justice. In other words, God brings us to the cross. Be pleased for Jesus' sake, for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, not to impute unto us our sinfulness. Imputation. That's a very beautiful concept. That simply means to put to one's charge. To hold him responsible for the debt that he has incurred. For the sake of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not impute that debt which we have incurred because of our sinfulness, which we commit day by day, even as we are being sanctified by the Spirit. Do not impose that debt upon us. Don't hold us accountable. And the basis for that prayer, beloved, is the faith which we have in Christ. The atonement. That He once and for all died on the cross for us and has given unto us the remission of sins. And that we are forgiven in His blood. And that He paid the price. I come to do Thy will, O God. Thy law is written in my heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that for us. He came into the flesh and He did that for us. He said, it's finished. I have accomplished it. And because I have accomplished it, and because the price has been paid, you and I, on the basis of that payment, can ask this most profound request. Lord, do not lay that upon my shoulders. For the sake of Jesus Christ and His blood, it has been paid. Take it away from me. Do not impute upon me, the poor, wretched sinner, the sins which I commit every day that are tied to the old man of sin and this old nature which I long for it being put to rest. Do not hold me as a debtor before Thy face. That's the prayer. Forgive. and build me from day to day on the basis of that forgiveness in a life that is sanctified and holy before thy face. But as I grow in grace, as I become more adept at handling myself as a sinner in the midst of this world before the face of God, I have to rely every day and again upon the forgiving grace of God. And this prayer is upon my lips and yours. Father, forgive, because again today I have failed, because again today I have sinned, because again today I have not done all things to thy glory, because again today my labor has not been what it should have been, because again today I was carnally minded instead of spiritually minded, because again today I fell far short of the mark of thy glory. Forgive. Blot it out. For the sake of Christ, put it on the back of the scapegoat, send it in the wilderness, and remember it no more. Now the other part of this prayer, beloved. As we forgive those who have sinned against us. Now you understand from all that we have said heretofore, this is not a conditional request. You and I, when we pray this petition, do not say to God that if I don't forgive, then don't forgive me, but if I forgive, then you best forgive me. That's not this prayer, beloved. It has nothing to do with that. And the Lord's Day makes that very plain in a very beautiful way, too. Notice in that last part of this prayer, as we also find this witness of thy grace, the witness of the forgiving grace of God has an impact in your life and in my life. To see the negative of that, we read the parable this evening. That servant who was forgiven much took one of his servants who owed him little and took him by the scruff of the neck and demanded payment. He had forgotten the grace of his master in the forgiveness of his great debt. That happens, and it may not. That's written there for our warning, beloved, and for our admonition. And the positive of that is put very beautifully in this Lord's Day. As we also find a witness of God's forgiving grace in us, that is, that we make it our full purpose heartily to forgive one another. Heartily to forgive one another. Not only every day do we sin against God, beloved, because of the old man of the flesh, but because of that same old man of the flesh, we also sin against each other. We do that as husbands and wives. We do that as parents and children. We do that as children and teachers. We do that with review to authority. We do that with a view to many, many things in our life. Sin that comes between us that needs forgiveness. And what does the Scripture tell us? To forgive. We read it a few moments ago in one of the texts that serves as the basis for our instruction. Paul writes about that to the Ephesians. And he puts his finger on the responsibility that the child of God has in the congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. John points that out in his first epistle. That's the practical aspect, beloved, of the congregational life that you and I live. In our families, in the fellowship and the communion of the saints, we forgive one another. Exactly the same thing applies. Sin brings sorrow. And sorrow brings confession. And confession brings forgiveness, beloved. And we ought to live that way with one another, in order that we may see the evidence of the grace of God's forgiving grace in our lives. And may we be able to point to that as husbands and wives, as children and parents, in all of our existence here below, as those who are ready to forgive, as those who are more than willing to forgive. Why? Because God has forgiven us in Christ so much. Certainly, with gladness in our heart, we can forgive one another those little things that we sin against each other. Every day and again, this prayer finds place in your life and in my life as Christ lays it upon our lips. Father, forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us, who are indebted unto us. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy word tonight. May we live in the light of this petition. May we experience Thy bountiful forgiveness. And may that forgiving grace find an evidence and a witness in our life as we live with one another in the fellowship of Thy people. All these things we ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Number 300.